This is the second part of the conversation between Phil and Kenneth Omori on studying accounting outside the United States. If you haven't listened to the first part of this episode, check your podcast feed.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
What is the thing I see in the upper left, my upper left? C? Oh, that's your name. Oh,
yes.
You know, it looked like C-I-K-I-O.
Yes, it looks like it. It's C-K-O. All right,
so what is that? Is that a separate company?
No, so CKO CPAs and Advisors is the CPA firm that I run. It's a partnership in Texas that myself and another CPA run. So it is a CPA firm, and we're registered with the state of Texas, and you know, it's just two of us, and we
You have an actual partner you're in partnership with?
Yes, sir. Yes, we are.
How'd you get it? Do you know this? Did you know this person beforehand?
Yes, it's very interesting. We graduated together in Nigeria, and he also studied accounting. And the very, interesting part of it is that we graduated and then we moved to the U.S. Not the same time, but at different times. And then he went through the CPA exams, and then he's also a CPA like me.
He's not one of the three twins. Triplets, I'm sorry.
No, it's not.
You're actually grooming the triplets to be CPAs, right?
Oh, well, I hope my wife will hear that, because she's also probably grooming them to be doctors.
Yeah, his wife is a pediatrician. An instructor, or she actually has a practice?
No, she works as an assistant, as associate professor at UT Health in Houston. So she's a lecturer.
No, she doesn't have a practice then. She has
That's
a practice.
Correct. No, she doesn't have a practice.
She's actually on the faculty.
That's correct.
Did she have to get tenure and all that stuff?
I don't think those that are faculty at I think it's the MD PhD that they probably have tenured for. But so they are faculties. I don't know if they have tenures for those who
does
are.
Does she have to do publishing and all that stuff?
Research? That's correct. Yes, she does. Of course, to get. Promoted and all that.
Yeah. So what's her rank? Assistant, associate?
Associate. She's up for full professorship very soon.
Wow. So she's got to publish more articles? Is that what she has?
Yes, absolutely.
That's hard to do. You know, I got my PhD, and I was at Catholic University in D.C., and
wow.
I had to publish, you know, to try to get tenure.
Yes.
And I only published four papers.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
What they call referee journals, you know, you have to be, right? And then they said they weren't scholarly enough. Okay. I remember they turned me down for tenure.
Interesting.
And I said, who turned me? Who voted against me? And he says, well, everyone voted against you.
Wow.
It was an economics and business department. It wasn't a school of business. So everyone else were economists. They had a couple of people with CPAs.
Okay.
And they looked at us like we were like a trade, you know. We weren't professionals. And, you know, so I remember they turned me down, and I remember the dean said, you know, yes, you did publish, but you didn't have enough charts and graphs.
Wow.
I was not an economist. Okay?
you've made a ton of, and I can tell you this for real, you've made a ton of impact in many of the young CPA, you know, like myself, our lives, and I think that's actually something to be very, very grateful for, and I think you know, you should take so much pride in that too.
Well, thank you. That's a tremendous compliment. Thank you. And you know, after all these years, if someone said that to me, I never take it for granted. You know, it's
yes.
You know, you know some people, if they're told that, their nose will stick up in the air. You know, but no, I'm just I like to help people get them through the exam.
Yes.
And you know, the CPA review business, you know, I've done well in it, and I don't go in there and with each class and say, well, how much can I make from this? And, right. you know, I, you know, we were running live courses for many years in the DC area. Wow. And I would have 150 people in a class. And, you know, not one person in that class ever said to me, all right, that we can tell you do this for the money and only the money. Wow. And they would always say that, you know, he's very sincere. He, you know, the fact that you can reach him on weekends and, you know, he'll help you. He'll never say no to you. I became proud of that. And also, yes. in turn, you know, hey, school put my daughter through college. Mm. It put my daughter has a preschool called Goddard Systems. Mm. She was able to buy that and own it, and they're building two more Goddard schools.
Amazing.
So, you know, hey, that's why I do this. I could retire actually now, but you know, what would I do? I don't know yeah. what I would do. I'm not a golfer or anything. All right. And I really still enjoy,
Absolutely.
You know, I meet people like you, and that's yeah. really, I think it's an honor to have you on, really. Definitely. And I can't thank you enough.
No, actually, talking about the review, I struggled a lot with the CPA exam. I don't know if I did share this earlier on, but I did. As someone who studied, I studied my first degree outside the U.S., then coming to the U.S., and then going through the process of qualifying to even write the exam, right? Because you have to go through the approval of the state to be able to write the exam in that state. And then taking the exam itself, I had a lot of struggle with the exam, and most of which was not really because one, you know, didn't understand accounting, but it's just a different environment from, I tell my wife all the time, and one of the things that was interesting was I remembered when I was taking the BEC part of the exam, and then they've asked, what are some of the byproducts from a fillet? You know, and I didn't, that was the first time I was seeing a fillet in my life, like in the exam. And so I was stuck in that question. I was just stuck because I didn't know what a fillet, if probably I knew what a fillet means, I probably might
what
be.
What do you mean by a fillet? I'm not sure what you mean either.
So F-I-L-E-T, right? F-I-L-E-T. I think it has to do with like some, you know, seafood, you know, If
filet is like filet mignon. It's not that. So, okay.
Oh, okay. But I mean, it was a term that if someone who studied here, who grew up here, saw, probably know what that term meant. But it was something that I needed to get my head around. So now talking about the struggling in the part of that, you know, journey in my exam, I don't know if I've shared this with you, but I took my exam 19 times. I took my four parts of the CPA exams 19 times. So I started with regulation, you know, then I moved over to audit and financial accounting and BEC, but I had to take two parts again because two of my credits expired. You know, I didn't pass them within that.
So that's when you took all four parts at the same time?
Exactly. So it took me a lot, and I had to really, you know, had to. That was when I had to supplement, and then I was privileged to get across to, you know, get my hands on, you know, your materials and your videos to also support my journey. But I'm really, really glad that journey is over now, and I am able to share this story and also maybe to talk to those who are currently going through the exam or those who intend to take the CPA exam. It's not an exam that is impossible. I tell people all the time when I talk to students at the CPA, Houston CPA Auxiliary Committee, that if I could pass that exam, any one of you can pass the exam.
Is there a big National Association of Black Accountants in Texas, Houston area?
Yes, they have NABA here in Houston, Texas, and I have been to a couple of their events, but I haven't really been participating, but I have been at a couple of the events.
Because one of my full-time teaching jobs was a school called Bowie State University, right, which is an all-black school in Bowie, Maryland.
Wow.
And after I left, might have been Catholic, I went there and I said, gee, I'm looking for a full-time job. And it just so happened that they had a full-time job. So anyway, I was the only white professor.
Wow.
I thought to myself, you know, this is going to be a problem. Well, I want you to know, all right, none of the students ever looked at me, my color or anything.
Wow.
They just, you know, they gave me respect and, you know, and I gave them respect, and I think they knew that.
Amazing. But
why I left there was the chairman of the department, all right? All right. He was a one-year chairman because the actual chairman who hired me, she went on sabbatical. Okay. So this guy was a class A racist.
Wow.
Oh, God. I can't repeat what he said to me on here. All right.
Wow. That is crazy. Just,
one day when he called me something, all right, because he resented that I was a CPA and we could do, you know, I had a practice part-time. All right. Right. And all he did was teach management. And he always would brag about, wow, I went to Harvard. I have a Harvard MBA. And, you know, and I would listen to that. And at the meetings, he'd say, you know, I wish these students were like me and I had Harvard MBA. And then I said, I remember I rolled my eyes, you know. And I said, well, how about the fact that CPAs, we can do all this work on the side, you know.
Right.
Anyway, he called me name.
No, that's not good.
And I got up and I quit.
Wow.
He called me a name and I thought, And you know what? This guy is still teaching at Bowie State.
Wow.
He's got to be older than I am. All right. Mm. And I met someone the other day, last week, that actually one of the people I interviewed on the podcast, he went to Bowie State.
Interesting.
And he's not in, I guess he's in Maryland. And he has a big accounting firm.
Amazing.
And, I said to him, is Mr. So-and-so's there? He says, yes. So I said, oh, my God. I said, is he still talking about his Harvard MBA? He says, yes. And I said, well, you know, he's a class A jerk.
No, it's amazing how the people who are supposed to, like they say, blow their own trumpet, you know, they don't. I mean, I look at you. When your team reached out to me to get on this platform, I feel it's a rare, rare privilege, because the goal of why we live, the goal of our existence, our mission, or our purpose in life, I believe, is to impact and to be able to leave a legacy. And when people who have done that, you know, who have done that with all humility, are very humble, then I wonder why someone would lay there so much pride in this school you graduated.
It was, I think, reverse racism.
Yeah, that's no good.
But he was the only one. I mean, he just had a bad attitude, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, I just because he was like that doesn't mean that everyone is like that.
That's correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, so, anyway, a few last questions. If you could change the accounting profession, the CPA profession, what's wrong with it? If there's anything wrong with it?
So it's an amazing profession. I'll tell you that. I mean, it's a profession that is a noble profession. It's a profession that anyone would take pride in. And I happen to have been very involved, even as a member of the AICP Leadership Academy. I graduated from the academy a couple of years ago. I definitely think, you know, they're doing a good thing. The profession is advancing and it's doing amazing things. But I want to see more people that look like me in the CPA profession. Right now, I mean, the statistics still there. There are less than 1% of CPAs that are blacks. There are less than 1% of
really?
CPAs, yes, that are, you know, of people that look like me.
Why is that?
I tell you, I think it's a myriad of so many reasons, and one of which is probably the gap, right? The gap in the accounting. A lot of people who study accounting, I mean, there's a certain percentage of those who study accounting that want to take the CPA exam. Now, take a look at the number of people, I mean, African-Americans, people who look like me that study accounting, they're not talking about taking the CPA exam. So we need to encourage more people.
That's a common problem with your white or black. The people are graduating, yeah, right, with degrees in accounting, and they're not taking the CPA exam.
Correct.
Right? They said, I'm an approved course provider with the AICPA. We used to meet twice a year, and this year we didn't meet because of the pandemic. We had a Zoom call. But the thing is, they said, since the last 10 years, there's been a 50% decline in the number of people taking the CPA exam.
Wow.
All right?
Yeah.
And the guy at the SCPA turns to the different providers, my competition, all right? And he says, well, what do you think we have to do to get more people to take the exam? So whatever you would say to them, they would say, nope, can't be done. Can't be done. Can't be done. And I think to myself, what'd you ask us for, you know?
Right.
My answer was, you know, this stupid rule, you make it so hard for them to get their license with the experience requirement. All right. Well, we can't change it. We can't change it. The 150 hours, bad mistake. All right. Mm. He says it was a bad mistake, but we can't overturn that because we'd have to get every state legislature to vote it down.
Right.
So, you know, there's a problem here. And they need people like you, and also other people in the profession who look like, you know, not the dull, boring people, right? And go out there and talk to, you know, talk to schools. I don't know.
Yes. I think I agree with that. So, and that's exactly one of the reasons why before I even start any class that I teach. So I also teach at the local community college.
That's right, Lone Star.
That's correct. So I used to teach at Houston Community College, then I moved to Lone Star College a couple of years ago. And when I teach any class that I teach, and I always start with sharing my story, you know. I share my story just to, you know, let people know that, hey, if I could do this, any one of you guys could do it, you know. And I see a lot of people who come to tell me maybe after the class or after the semester and tell me that, thank you for sharing your story. I really feel like that really motivated me throughout, you know, taking your course. And that's the joy of it. So if I'm able to talk to people about, you know, taking the CPA exams and then, you know, getting into the accounting profession, I think making the accounting profession more attractive, probably that's that's
how would you make it more attractive?
Exactly. Having people, you know, organizing events and you know, inviting college students, organizing events, inviting high school students, you know, telling them about the accounting profession, giving them, you know, just introduction, like an appreciation of what the accounting profession looks like. Because there's the mentality of what people think accountants are, you know, in their head. A lot of people
think we're bookkeepers.
So not a lot of people know that I play the saxophone. So when they see me maybe in church playing the saxophone, they're like, oh, that's a different person. No, I'm the same person. So accounting is not boring. Accounting is fun. I mean, think about the flexibility that exists as an accountant or as a CPA. You have so much flexibility to do anything you want to do. You're just talking about you resigning and then going, you know, maybe focusing on your practice. You have the CPA license helps you to get that amount of flexibility. You have so much choices, and then I don't know if there's a lot of professions that gives you that level of flexibility to
you know, we used to do this. My first job was at a community college.
Oh wow.
And once a month we brought in the different, you know, majors, a management major or that person who was in charge of the program and you know, all the areas. And then, you know, person who's in charge of the accounting would come in and talk and, you know, tell these people, you know, what the professions are like and why you think it's a great idea to go into it.
Yes.
That's the only place I ever went that they did something like that.
Nice. Right? Exactly. That was exactly what I was just talking about.
Yeah,
so.
And because a lot of these places where they have these meetings where they invite students, usually there's usually partners from the firms.
Mm.
Okay. Sometimes they send, you know, people work there, but you got to, you know what? You got to bring people who look dynamic, not dynamic, who look like they're not regular. They're regular people. They don't look like they're the cure for insomnia. You know, that's the whole thing.
That's funny.
What do you teach at Lone Star?
Well, I teach accounting, intro to accounting. I teach principles of accounting. At HCC, I have taught audit, actually. I did teach audit, and then it's mostly accounting. Then I taught federal tax individuals specifically, so federal tax individuals.
What course did you like the most teaching?
Two courses. I would say federal income tax for individuals, which is, of course, my where I have my interest in the most in accounting, and then intro to accounting. Because I think intro to accounting is one of the most important courses to take, because You are building the foundation. Everything rises and falls on the foundation. So if people who think accounting is some of those weird fields, you know, sits in one of your classes and they enjoy it, there's so much tendency for them to go ahead and you know, take additional classes.
But everyone has to take principles of accounting, no matter what major you're in, right?
Right. So that's an opportunity.
Those people, a lot of those people would say, gee, I have to take this. I really don't like it. Do you find the people are that, or are they more, you know?
I promise you, I find people like that. And the way to be able to get these people interested in accounting is making accounting very, very personable to them. Like, make accounting interesting. You know, how do I explain it this way? Each time I teach, each time I try sharing my knowledge with students, and I try to give examples that are unrelated to accounting, are unrelated to numbers. And that's one way I think it really sinks in, like giving an example. And you know,
from the real world, children.
Yes, exactly. For example, I think when people say in the real world, when they say that, oh, I just got a credit in my bank account, you know, in their head, right? They got some money, right? It's credit in their account. But in accounting, you and I know that's the opposite of it, right? So when I'm teaching intro to accounting and I'm talking about debits and credit, I always want to make them know that if you thought about the bank debit and credit a lot, it has nothing to do with this. Because if you think about it that way, you are actually going to be doing the direct opposite. As little as that example, it makes so much impact in my classes.
And also, accounting is what they call it, the language of business.
That's correct.
And no matter what you're going to go into, you know, beyond the first 2 years of school, is whether it's finance or anything, all right? If you know accounting, you know, finance, you have to know how to read financial statements. And, you know, even consulting, you have to know how to read financials. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell these people in the first or second year how important it is. But it is important. And, right. You know, I think we need better communication from people like you to students and get them excited about accounting.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
don't
the
bring in these people teaching who look like, you know, well, they had nothing better to do. So they feel by and you know, they're very monotone.
Right, right. I think that's the key word, monotone, yes.
That's why I called it the cure for insomnia. anyway. Anyway, Kenneth, I want to thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely,
and
sir.
Also, all right, thank you for all the nice things you said about me, and I appreciate that.
No, absolutely, sir. Absolutely.
And good luck with the three children, the triplets, all right?
Thank you, sir.
Who told me were 3 years old, and I look at this man and I say, he's still alive to tell everyone about it, right? I only had one child, you know? I thought to myself, God, this is hard. You know, the 3 o'clock, no, 3 o'clock. I just said your kids are 3 o'clock. They're 3 years old.
Yes.
Didn't they go through what they call the terrible twos?
Well, I mean, we've been through all of those, and
they're terrible threes now.
Well, they're actually well behaved, because you know and that's actually one of the biggest joys that I have, because I'm very, very involved, in their lives, and sometimes maybe the mom, I mean, my wife, is not able to take them to daycare. I am able to take them to daycare because I control my time. I'm flexible with my time. So I'm really, really happy doing it.
What's your wife's first name?
Emma.
Emma. Yes. You tell Emma that I said you're a very nice man.
Thank you so much, sir. She would love that.
I wish you the best of luck with everything you're involved in. And stay healthy, all right?
Thank you so
much. Stay away from people with this COVID stuff. By the way, have they eliminated masks? Is Texas back to normal?
Well, they have. The state governor eliminated it about 2 weeks ago, so there's no mask mandate in Texas, but there are still a lot of, well, federal buildings, you can wear you must wear a mask in federal buildings, and there's some, most businesses still put it out there that before you come in, you must wear a mask. But overall, people have, I've seen a lot of people already taking off their mask, but...
Yeah, well, Don't listen to them. You know, I hated those masks. And now, well, I got my shot, so, but I
still wear the mask.
Because Maryland is not that liberal. They're still 25% of the original occupancy in restaurants.
Yes.
It's an honor to have you. And thank you once again for the kind words. They were kinder than any words I've gotten, honestly, from people. But no, it meant a lot to me. And if anybody wants to find out about Kenneth, you know, especially why he went into accounting, that type of thing, they can follow you on LinkedIn, right?
Yes.
What else can they follow you on?
CKOUS.com, our company's website. So I'm on there. Right,
repeat that very slowly.
So it's going to be C like Charlie, K like Kilo, O like Oscar, U like United, S like States. So CKOUS.com.
And that is your...
My company website, our CKO CPAs and Advisors.
Yes. And, you know, look at it. I'm sure I have not seen it myself, but I'm sure that, you know, go to it. And I'm sure if you have any questions, you can contact Kenneth, because it's always good to get ideas on how people started practices, you know, and, you know, you don't have to use everything that someone does, but you get ideas, and that's what's important. Okay.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to CPA Review and More. We have a new podcast every Tuesday. All right. And we try to get the guests that would be of interest to you. And if you want a specific area, we will get a guest in that area to talk on the podcast. And if you need to get a hold of me and you have a suggestion, my number is 301-874-4900. Let me repeat that, 301-874-4900. And I'm at extension 5. And you can talk to me anytime. Just remember, I'm on the Eastern Daylight Savings Time. All right. It's so new, I couldn't say it. So anyway, take care, everyone. Thank you. And be healthy and stay safe. And once again, be nice to people, because this, I'm finding that this COVID thing has not made people nicer, but a lot of them are a lot nastier. All right. Don't become like them. Take care, everyone. See you again soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.